Astronomers have captivated all of us with beautiful pictures of objects that make up our solar system. And some of the most fascinating and exciting have been comets. What do comets tell us about our world?
The famous Shoemaker-Levy comet crashed and giving astronomers a real sort of ooh-ah light show.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien with the Institute for Creation Research. Many of us have had the experience of looking up into a beautiful star-filled night and seeing a comet making its path through our solar system. Generations have looked to the sky as we've watched Halley, Borelli, Hale-Bopp, Temple-Tuttle, and Hiu-Kutaki. Please join us for the next 15 minutes as we talk about comets and what we can learn about the creation. So, what are comets? John Rijke is the director of the ICR Museum of Creation and Earth History.
What is a comet? The first modern person to sort of discuss the idea of what a comet might be was a gentleman named Fred Whipple in 1950. He suggested comets were basically dirty snowballs.
And since that time, we've learned much more about these fascinating objects.
Comets we know today have a nucleus, basically that snowball nucleus. Surrounding that, they have what we call a coma, which is basically a gas cloud of gas and dust. And finally, surrounding the coma, they have a halo of hydrogen gas. And of course, the most famous thing about comets is perhaps their tail. They have large dust and ion tails. These tails generally point away from the sun because of solar wind, which blasts them out towards the planets, and radiation pressure on liberated dust grains. All these things cause us to see these tails.
So what's the difference between a comet and an asteroid? Dr. Ron Samick is professor of astronomy and physics at Bob Jones University in South Carolina.
Well, a comet, basically an icy asteroid that orbits about the sun, slightly different in its orbit than orbits of asteroids because they can be highly inclined to the plane of the planets. That means they can come in at all different angles and not necessarily orbit along the same direction as the planets, whereas asteroids, sometimes called minor planets, generally are close to the plane of the solar system and are a little more regular in their orbits. Asteroids fluoresce when they come close to the sun, which tells us that they have lots of ices in them. And if an asteroid exhibits that property, then we call it a comet. So basically it's that fluorescence, it's that spectral lines emitted because it has gases that are heated up and fluorescing like a light in a fluorescent light bulb. And that's basically what makes a comet.
Comets have amazed many generations.
Perhaps the most famous story about comets is the one about comets and Mark Twain. Mark Twain, a famous humorist of the 1800s, was born the year Halley's Comet came around in 1835. He always joked during his lifetime that he was born with a comet and he would leave with the comet. And sure enough, Mark Twain died in 1910, the year Halley's Comet returned.
And throughout history, many comets have given us a thrill as they passed close enough to Earth for us to see. John Rijke.
Halley's Comet is, of course, the most famous of all comets, first talked about in the ancient literature in 240 BC. Other comets we have seen in recent time include the comet Kohoutek and Hyakutek, and the famous Shoemaker-Levy comet, which broke up into 9 pieces and crashed into the surface of Jupiter, perturbing the clouds and giving astronomers a real sort of ooh-ah light show.
Comets have captivated mankind throughout the centuries, but in modern times, we've learned much more information about them by using probes that have been sent out into space.
Well, Fred Whipple's 1950 sort of theorizing about comets turned out to be true, or were verified in 1986 when we visited Halley's Comet. In fact, 6 different spacecraft from various countries around the world rendezvoused with Halley's Comet in 1986. The closest spacecraft was from the European Space Agency, and this probe was called GAITO.
And this probe gave scientists an unplanned bit of excitement.
In fact, as this probe got close to Halley's Comet, It was hit by a dust particle, and at the speeds that are out there in the solar system that the probe and the comet was going, the dust particle hit so hard it actually knocked the spacecraft around, causing it to wobble for at least a half an hour before they got it right.
But the mission turned out to be a success.
Well, they were able to take pictures of the nucleus with this space probe. Turns out the nucleus, the ice ball in the middle, if you will, is about 9 miles across and about 4.5 miles deep and shaped sort of like a potato. And in fact, analysis on the nucleus now seems to suggest, and there needs to be more work done on this, but it seems to suggest that the density of the nucleus, just how hard it is sort of just a little bit more dense than new fallen snow, which is amazing that it stays together like this.
But that fragile composition of a comet eventually leads to its own demise. Dr. Ron Samick.
Fred Whipple back in the 50s thought that comets were compacted dirty snowballs, and the only thing that would back that up today is that they disintegrate fairly rapidly in their motion around the sun. As they come in closer, generally they lose quite a bit of their mass as this material leaves the comet, and many times it'll fracture and break up into several pieces and appear later as a meteor shower. So this has been a problem for evolutionists for a long time, because comets just don't last, and they certainly don't last over the supposed age of the solar system.
Dr. John Morris is president of the Institute for Creation Research.
Over the course of history, the same comet has come back several times. That every time it comes back, it's giving off that, I mean, you can see the tail. That's actually particles of the comet that's being separated from the main body of the comet by the solar wind or the pressures from the sun. And so the comet is actually losing mass, either ice or solid particles of dust. But these comets are not infinitely big, so every time they go around the sun, they lose more mass.
Dr. Samick.
Comets sometimes will just won't come back the next time when they are supposed to be back around, and we'll get a meteor shower or something of that sort. The Hubble telescope was actually going to look at Comet Linear, and when the cameras were turned on the object's head was breaking up into pieces. And so we caught several comets in the act. In fact, back in 1996, another comet did the same. Comets just don't last.
And the fact that these comets break up is good evidence that the solar system isn't billions of years old. Dr. Russ Humphreys is a physicist with the Institute for Creation Research.
There's some comets called short-period comets that come around so frequently that they could not have been in our solar system longer than 10,000 years. And there are other comets that are a little slower than that, like Halley's Comet, which comes back every 70 years, and Halley's Comet is acknowledged by scientists to not have been in the solar system longer than 90,000 years. So comets can't be in the solar system very long, and yet the comets themselves, the dirty snowballs, are thought to be as old as the solar system by evolutionary scientists. And so they would have to be roughly 4 to 5 billion years old.
Of course, this causes problems for the Big Bang theorists, so they've tried to come up with other theories to explain why comets could still exist for billions of years. Dr. Morris.
Now, evolutionists like to talk about a continual resupply of these comets from this hypothetical Oort cloud of comets that's out there somewhere out beyond Pluto. Every now and then, there's evidently a sphere of comets out there or asteroids out there that every now and then one of them kicks back into the solar system and begins to orbit the sun in this elliptical orbit. But, you know, we've been looking for that Oort cloud for a long time now and never seen a clue. It's just not there. It's a hypothetical possible solution to this comet problem, but the problem remains. The Oort cloud is not there, as far as science knows.
But the Oort cloud isn't the only theory used in an attempt to fix this problem. Dr. Samick.
Lately, there's been quite a bit of stir about what's called the Kuiper Belt, which is an asteroid belt that's outside the orbit of Neptune. And they found, up to present date, about 700 or 800 objects in that belt. Since it's in a region where gases would be frozen, it's assumed that they're cometary bodies, and that this is a source of what they call the short-period comets, the comets that orbit closer in and around the solar system. And there's no doubt those objects are there in that belt.
But there's evidence to show that this Kuiper belt isn't a source for new comets either.
One thing recently I just came across is that a study was done trying to show that these objects, if they're comets or not, in the Kuiper belt are a source of short period comets by looking at colors, spectral colors of these things. These objects are very much different than the short period comets. The Kuiper belt objects are very red, and this redness is missing in the short period comets. So we've got another problem that's been developed, that these two appear to be two completely different classes of objects. And so they don't offer the supply of short period comets that are needed. And so there's been all kinds of interesting hypotheses about this and how a Kuiper belt object can change into a comet by somehow getting rid of its red. Evolutionists never quite give up, and so there might be some chemical process that'll come up someday, whatever, to show how these things could lose their red color. But right now, they're two different classes of objects.
Dr. Humphreys.
So the accepted theory, which is called the Kuiper belt theory and the Oort cloud theory, has, first of all, the Oort cloud, a spherical cloud of dirty snowballs way out beyond the orbit of Pluto, a good fraction of a light year away from the solar system and in all directions. And then the dirty snowballs are thought to feed the Kuiper belt, which are snowballs near the orbit of Pluto and Neptune. And some large chunks of ice have been seen out there. And then something is supposed to kick the dirty snowballs into orbit, a smaller orbit around the sun. But the problem is the theory doesn't work. And another problem is that nobody has ever seen any of the ice that's alleged to be in the Oort cloud. Comet theory right now doesn't do very well. Even with a lot of adjustable numbers to stick into the theory, the comet theorist cannot explain the actual number of comets that we see in the solar system. So there are major problems with comet theory.
So, once again, the scientific evidence seems to agree with the age of the Earth that we read about in God's Word.
A much simpler explanation is that the solar system is young, and then the comets would simply have been around from near the beginning of the solar system when God created them less than 6,000 years ago. So creationists have a much simpler explanation and one that works. So comets support the young world that Scripture depicts.
We hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast on comets. Our solar system and all of the heavens declare the glory of the Creator. If you'd like to learn more about creation science or about the Institute for Creation Research, just ask for our free information packet when you get in touch with ICR. And check us out on the web at www.icr.org. To ask for today's free offer, please call toll-free 1-800-7-GENESIS. That's 1-800-7-GENESIS. And you can address your letters to ICR at P.O. Box 2667, El Cajon, California, 92021. If there's a topic you would like us to cover on the program, then email us at radio@icr.org. ICR's website address is www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.